Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you. Shape us, make us, mold us into what you need us to be. In these days, we give you all the honor and glory and praise. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Shalom, saints. It's an awesome opportunity to be sharing with you in this time that we have. Why, the time has just flown by so quickly. If you can turn into Yeshayahu, which is Isaiah. For you Hebrew scholars, Isaiah, Yeshayahu, the 55th chapter. What we're talking about is that we are a part of something that is awesome. We are a part of something that is great. We are a part of something that is amazing, outstanding, incredible. We are a part of the kingdom of Yahweh. Do we have any kingdom people here? Hallelujah. Are you glad about it? Are you glad about being a kingdom person? So, in that transition, when we become kingdom people, we become part of the amazingness of His kingdom. That means that there are things that are available to us. There are things that we embrace or should embrace. We want to be everything that He's called us to be and He wants us to be. We want to achieve our purpose. Hallelujah. We want to be able to work and expand the kingdom, working that others be saved. But with that comes a change. Since we have been translated, we have been transformed. We came out of the kingdom of darkness, and now we are in the kingdom of His dear Son. So tell your neighbor, a change has to take place. Tell them, your neighbor, this, a change has taken place. It has happened, right? We have been transformed. But what we have to do is we have to embrace that transformation. So a part of our salvation was that we repented, meaning that it's from the Greek word metanoia, which means that we have changed the direction of our thinking. We've changed our minds. We're not thinking the way we used to think, but rather we're thinking the way kingdom people think, right? He's given us a new way of living. With a new way of living comes a new way of thinking, because if you think differently, then you will do things differently. Amen. You have to embrace that. He can't force you to embrace the change. You have to do it. So that's what we have been talking about. We have been talking about that repentance, that change of mind, that redirection, where we return back again to His way of thinking. So if we look at Yeshayahu or Isaiah, the 55th chapter, if you got it, say, I got it. Seventh verse. And it says what? Let the wicked forsake his way. Say, I used to be wicked. And I'm not anymore. I hope you all are telling the truth. Amen. Okay, because you got to walk in that newness. So when you were wicked, when you were transformed, you have to forsake the way that you used to do it. You got to forsake your way. If you were a drug dealer, you're no longer in the drug game. Your head ain't in the drug game anymore. It's in the kingdom game, right? So you can't remain the way you were. You were an ex-addict. You were an ex-user. You were an ex-prostitute. You were an ex-sinner. And he's brought you out of the ex, right? What you used to do into some kingdom stuff. So you got to embrace that. You're brand new. You're not the same anymore. So you got to understand. Tell your neighbor, we're not the same we used to be. Thank God. We're not the same. So it says, let the wicked forsake his way. That means the way we used to do stuff, we ain't doing it no more. I told you last week, we used to be slicksters and tricksters. We can't be slicking and tricking in the kingdom. Don't work. It doesn't equal. Okay, so it says, and the unrighteous man, his thoughts. So we got to forsake ways, the way we used to do stuff, the stuff we used to do, and we have to forsake thoughts. Why do we have to forsake thoughts? Because it's the thoughts that lead to the ways. Everything starts with a thought. Before anyone does anything, they what? Think it through first. Right? So evidently, if he says the wicked need to forsake their way and the unrighteous his thoughts, that means there must be a righteous way of thinking and an unrighteous way of thinking. But a lot of believers bring their unrighteous ways into the kingdom. And it don't work. Tell your neighbor, don't work. So don't even try it. Don't even try it. Right? And so, and it says, and let him, what? Return unto Yahweh. And Yahweh will have what? We said, if you return to Yahweh, that's what repenting is. It's a turning away. It's a changing of your mind to what it used to be, to a changing of your mind what it needs to be. And that's his way of thinking. And if you do that, he'll do something for you. There's a beautiful exchange that takes place. What is that exchange? He will have mercy upon me. And to our God, Yahweh, he will what? Abundantly pardon. So he's made it clear to us there's his way of doing things, and there's our way we used to do things. But we need to adopt his way. Eighth verse, it says, for my thoughts, not your thoughts. So the stuff that he's trying to feed us and give us is not the way that our natural man used to process stuff, right? So it says, his thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are his your ways my ways, he saith, Yahweh. For the heavens are higher. So the thinking that we should be embracing is a higher way of thinking. Amen. It's a higher level. I don't know about you. I don't want to stay the same. I always want to go higher. Anybody want to go higher? So it's a higher way of thinking. So that's what we should set our thoughts on, what's higher. Okay, so it says neither, and it says, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So he's got high thoughts. So if he has high thoughts, we should have high thoughts. But a lot of believers are not thinking high. They're thinking low. They're thinking below what he has given us. So let's check this out. Let's go to Philippians. I'm going to move you through this fast. Anybody seen the series Breaking Bad? What is Breaking Bad about? You raising your hand way up high. I know. Breaking Bad is about the guy used to be a teacher. And he turned into what? Somebody said ice. He turned into a meth dealer. Right? Well, I used to be a chemist, and I didn't do meth. I did the legitimate chemistry. Right? Amen. I did it for a toy company. But he wasn't He decided to resort to a way of thinking that put him in the meth game, right? He used to think like a teacher, but then when he got in the meth thing, he started thinking like a what? Drug dealer. And what came with that? Well, if anybody's seen the show, he had to do some low-down, dirty stuff.
He had to kill people. You seen it? Who said that?
He did some bad stuff. Okay. Yes, he did.
Well, guess what? Some of y'all or some of us ain't much different. Because he translated us, gave us a beautiful life of peace, love, and we traded over for some of that king, for some of that worldly stuff. We sell out our inheritance. We sell out our birthright for some bean soup. Maybe your bean soup is pornography. Well, maybe your bean soup was adultery. Maybe your bean soup was just money. Maybe it was addiction. But I'm here to tell you that you're not bound by that stuff anymore. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. So with that freedom comes a free mind. So you're not bound to that way of thinking anymore. So let's go to Philippians, the third chapter. 15th verse says what? If you got to say, I got it. Philippians 3:15. So it says, let us, who's us? The church, the kingdom people. Let us be, therefore, as many as be perfect. What have we found in the Hebrew language that perfect means? It doesn't mean pristine. It means mature. Amen. Study to show yourself approved. Because you'd be, I got to be perfect. That, see, and that's the sellout point. We say, ain't nobody perfect. We not perfect. Yeah, but we might not be perfect, but we're seeking to be mature in him. Any mature seekers? I'm here, right? So it says, let us therefore as many be mature, be thus minded. What does thus minded means? It means that there's a way of thinking that all mature kingdom people should be doing, and it's the same way of thinking.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, we should be thinking the same way. Kingdom way, right? It means thus minded, that we're all thinking the same way. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, because we got some believers that are otherwise minded. That means they're not thinking on kingdom stuff. It's somewhere else, right? But if we're otherwise minded, Yahweh shall reveal even this unto you. See, so when your thinking is stinking, he'll let you know. That's not my way. That's not my thought. That's not kingdom. But then he'll also let us know if we're doing the right thing, if we're walking in the right way. Yes, my child, that's right. Yes, my child, that's good. So yes, my child, I will bless you. Yes, my child, I will show my favor upon you. Who wants his favor? Okay. So you got to adopt his way of thinking, and it's a kingdom way of thinking. So when we go to the 16th verse, it says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, he's already did the work, he's already translated us, transformed us, justified us, sanctified us. He already did all that. So then, what do? It says, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So let's think the same way. Let's think the kingdom way of thinking. So let's go to Proverbs. For you Hebrew scholars, the book of Proverbs is what? Mishle, M-I-S-H-L-E. Mishle. So let's go to Proverbs, the 23rd chapter. Hallelujah. Who wants to get educated in the kingdom way of thinking this morning? Hallelujah. Because see, when you walk out of here, you got to start operating in the kingdom way of thinking, because the enemy's trying to get you out of the pocket. He's trying to get you out of pocket. His job is to get you out of pocket. His job is to separate you from your kingdom inheritance. So let's find out. Proverbs, or Mishle, the 23rd chapter, the 7th verse. So say this. For as he thinketh in his heart. So a lot of us act like we don't understand and say, well, you know, I'm thinking, what do you mean thinking in my heart? He's not talking about the muscle that pumps the blood. The heart, translated in Greek,
is the cardia. What is the cardia? It is the mind, right? So he's saying, for as it is, as he thinketh in his mind, so is he. So what are you thinking? What is the mind comprised of? The mind is comprised of thoughts. So whatever you are thinking, that's what you are. So if you're thinking kingdom, you are kingdom. If you're thinking otherwise, worldly, sin, then that is what you what? Are. Tell yourself you are what you think. Right? For as he thinketh in his heart or his mind, so what is he? So you always will become what you think. You think you a loser? That is what you will become. But if you think the way kingdom thinks, which is, Yahweh said, I am more than a conqueror. So guess what? When you start thinking I am more than a conqueror, guess what you are? I'm more than a conqueror. When I start thinking I can do all things through Mashiach that strengthens me, what happens? You start to do all things through Mashiach that strengthens you. There is nothing that you cannot do as long as you stay in Mashiach. Right? So you got to embrace that. So let's go to James. What is the book of James in the Hebrew? Yaakov. All right. So this is where we're getting ready to go. James, first chapter, 23rd verse. You got it? Say, I got it. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. Right? For he beholdeth himself, he looks at himself and goeth away, and straightway he forgets what manner of man he was. So if you're just a hearer of the word and just a doer, you're like a person that looks into a glass and forgets what you look like. But if you are a doer of the word, when you look into that glass, you see a kingdom person there. You see a child of the kingdom. So therefore, when you walk away, you still know the image that you saw in that mirror. You still know that you're kingdom when you walk away from it. How do we know? 25th verse. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, that means you keep on doing the things that you're supposed to, you hold on to that picture. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deed. Hallelujah. So listen, let's find out how we can operate in his thoughts. And what are his thoughts and what are the carnal thoughts? Let's go here. 2 Corinthians, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And if you got it, say, I got it. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And we're going to start at the first verse. Hallelujah. All right. Now, I, Paul, or Shaul, his Hebrew name, beseech you, do you have it? By the meekness and gentleness of Mashiach, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence. Because he used to be criticized. He was giving all these instructions to the churches, and they will say, yeah, when you write to us, you say bold stuff. But when you come face to face with us, you're not as bold as you are in your writing. Why? Because when he was in their presence, he was trying to show the love and the compassion. He was still delivering the word. But when he was away from him, he was like, y'all need to do this. Y'all need to get it together. So that's why he prefaces it. All right. So he says, the third verse, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So there's something that's going on. There is a supernatural thing that is taking place. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but we're wrestling what? Powers, right? So though we walk in the flesh,
We do not war what? After the flesh. Fourth verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through Yahweh to the pulling down strongholds. What are strongholds?
Well, when you study the Hebrew, you find out what strongholds are. Strongholds actually means a fortress or a house of thoughts.
Strongholds are when you have thoughts, right, that are create a house.
What are you talking about, Pastor Tom?
Well, maybe you felt all your life somebody told you you could never be loved. So all your life you say, I can't be loved. So you continue to think that, and so you start building up strongholds, or as we like to call it, you building up walls. Anybody said that? You got this wall. Well, that's what we do. We try to block things out. We try to keep ourselves from things. But did you know that the word here says our weapons of warfare are not carnal but mighty through Yahweh to the pulling down of strongholds? So that means there's some houses of thoughts that you have built up in your life that are keeping you from doing the things of Yahweh, that are keeping you from thinking kingdom. And he's saying his power is able to tear down the house of thoughts, tear down the strongholds in your life. Because you got some stuff, you got some baggage, you got some walls that you've built up all these years. And how did you get it that way? Because your thoughts were building up strongholds and barriers and shackles. You think he just came to set you free from addictions and stuff? He came to set your mind free. He came to break that mess down. And you know what else we find out in the Hebrew about thoughts? When it talks about strongholds, strongholds are demonically induced thoughts. That means the author of the thoughts came from the demonic realm. Because Yahweh don't have to build up no house of thoughts for you. The enemy tries to do that. Why? Because he's trying to keep you. So if he can get your mind, he can get you. If he can get your thoughts, he can get you. If he can get you to block out what he's got for you, then Yahweh can't get to you. But there's some folks that need to be free. Even as you sit in your seat, your mind is trying to bind you, but your mind cannot stop the power of Yahweh in your life if you give it to him. That's why you got to give him your mind. So it says, to the pulling down of strongholds. What else does it say? Casting down imaginations. What are imaginations? Those are thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that are demonically induced. Imaginations, that's what he has. That's how he gets us. He ain't got no power over you. This is what he'll do, y'all. He'll throw you a thought. He said, have you thought about strangling that woman? And guess what he'll do? He'll walk away. He just left you with the thought. Right? And so you're like, what am I going to do with this? Because you got two choices. Shall I strangle her? Or should I just get rid of that thought? But if you decide that you're going to sit there and play with that thought, guess what you're going to do? You're about to strangle her. Why? Because he's giving you the idea, the thought, the suggestion, but it's up to you to either throw it away, right? Or hold on to it. Those thoughts are not your thoughts. They only become your thoughts when you embrace them and start entertaining them. That's how he gets you, right? That's how he gets you into a whole lot of stuff. You marry, and everything's fine. But somebody will walk by and he'll give you that thought. What about that? You have a choice. You can say, oh, I got something better. Hallelujah. I got who he gave me, huh? Glory to Yahweh, huh? I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I got everything that I need. Thank you for what you've given me, Abba. Or you say, hey, you know, maybe I should kind of check out what's going on. You know, there's a lot of fish in the sea. He'll tell you that. Don't raise your hand. He's told you. Didn't he tell you there's a lot of fish in the sea? Didn't he tell you that there might be somebody better? There's always going to be a new car model. You got to be satisfied with what you got. Hallelujah. And you hold on to it long enough, it'll become a classic, an antique. Hey, goes up in value. All right. So it says, casting down imaginations, thoughts, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yahweh, bringing to captivity every thought. So whose job is it to bring into captivity every thought? Yours. Because you have to say, hey, is this a thought of Yahweh or is this the thought of the enemy? You have to discern. That's why it's here that we have to take thoughts captive. We have to say, that's not mine. And I'm not going to act on that. Right? So, this is where we left off. Genesis, Bereshit. Where do those thoughts come from? We find out that they're demonically induced. Thought after thought after thought after thought creates a stronghold. A quick story about thoughts. True story. There was a lady. And you know how you guys have random thoughts? You just be somewhere and where'd that thought come from? So the random thought that ran through her mind was, what color flowers would she have at her funeral? True story. Thinking about what color flowers, just some crazy stuff. Y'all, don't act like you ain't thought some crazy stuff before. You thought some crazier stuff than that. I wonder, she was like, well, and I wonder what kind of flowers would I have at my funeral? So she began to ponder what the colors would be. So she started thinking, she saw herself laying in a casket, and she saw a little pink sheen on it, so she thought, maybe I should go with purple. I'll have purple flowers. Then as she started looking at the scene, she started thinking, well, you know, and she was at work when this was happening. So she's like, well, as she took in the scene of her casket and the flowers that she would have, she saw her husband grieving on the front row. And she was thinking, oh, my husband is there at my funeral, my service, and he's grieving. And he was fairly young, in his 30s. And so she's thinking, like, he looks so handsome sitting there on the front row. Well, he's not gonna stay widowed very long because he looks halfway decent. So, you know, he'll probably hook up with somebody. And, you know, she'll probably have to be just as, you know, attractive as he is. And then she started thinking, well, who does he think he is moving along? And he gonna find somebody else. But how much longer after he buries me is he gonna hook up with somebody else? It may be somebody that I know. It may be one of my friends. Well, let me think about what friend would try to push up on my husband after I'm gone. And she started thinking about that stuff. So by the time he got home, he didn't know what he was walking into. He cops in and she's like, who do you think you are? You gonna find another woman? And he was like, what are you talking about? She said, well, I was thinking about what color my flowers were to be. And then I started, and she went on. And guess what happened? Her mind completely did a whole movie story about what, just out of a thought. And he was at work. He didn't know what in heaven was going on. But what did she let happen? She allowed her thoughts to take her captive instead of her taking captive of her thoughts. And that's what's wrong with some of us. We allow our thoughts to take us captive instead of us taking captivity over our thoughts and pulling down the strongholds to the obedience of him. So don't act like you ain't had no random thoughts. We call it daydreaming. Isn't that a beautiful way of saying it? Y'all sit there and think some crazy stuff and you classify it as daydreaming. That ain't nothing but the enemy messing with your mind. You want a beautiful daydream? You better get into that word and think about all the goodness that he... Listen, what she should have been thinking about is the fact that not that her casket, her body was sitting up in that box, but her soul was in heaven rejoicing, getting her reward. And then she shouldn't have even been thinking about that. She should have been thinking about, with long life, he will satisfy me. I don't have to be sick. I can live a long, prosperous life. So if there's things like that, we should be thinking on what? That. So you got to take captivity over the thoughts. So real quick, I'm not going to hold you long, just two more. We're in Genesis, the third chapter, and it says what? The seventh verse, Genesis 3:7, and it says what? And the eyes of them both were open. Who are you talking about? Well, Adam and Eve. After they were disobedient and ate the fruit, right? This is their situation. And the eyes of them were what? Opened. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. My God. And they heard the voice of Yahweh their Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh amongst the trees of the garden. They had a beautiful situation. He was walking around naked for hundreds of years. Could have been thousands of years. We don't know how long they was walking around naked. And it was no problem. It was fine. They were frolicking and having a good time in the garden. But something happened. What happened? Well, we know they were disobedient and ate the fruit, right? And so, what does the next verse say? It says, what? And they heard, and Yahweh called unto the ninth verse, and Yahweh called unto Adam and said, where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid. What changed? You've been naked for years, and it was never a problem. Why is it now a problem? So how did Yahweh respond to it? He said, who told you that you was naked? Who put that thought in your mind? Who told you that? Because I didn't tell you that. So now we see that there was a thought process that started to take place. Well, hey, that was messed up. But when he said that he was afraid, because he didn't create them to be afraid. He said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So they were already out the pocket. I was afraid. Strike one. Who told you that you should be afraid? I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you that you was naked? Where did that thought come from? Because if it came from Yahweh, he wouldn't have to say, who told you? So even like I shared last week, who told you that you were sick? Who told you that you was poor? Who told you that you wasn't going to make it? Who told you that you were weak? Who told you that you was defeated? Who told you not to come to church? Who told you to give up? Who told you that you weren't going to amount to anything? That thought didn't come from Yahweh, because he's told you, you are more than a conqueror. You can do all things. I have not given you a spirit of fear. So your job is to be what is called in the Hebrew a shahar. What is a shahar? A shahar is a gatekeeper. Anytime a thought comes in, you should say, hark, who goes there? And if that thought is not of Yahweh, you say, security, I bind you in the name of Yeshua. Get that out of here. Get it out. Because it's not my thought. It's not his thought. So you got to keep the gate in your mind. You got to be a shahar, a gatekeeper, a keeper of the door. And guess what? I'd rather be a keeper of the door. Why? Because the keeper of the door can keep my shalom, keep my peace. Because every thought that's walking on by your door ain't a thought that you should let in. Amen. So you have to discern, hey, is this a thought of Yahweh? Oh, come on in. I'll entertain that thought. Hallelujah. Hey, is this the word? Come on in. Hallelujah. But if there's some funky, crunky, messed up, ratchet thoughts that ain't got no business knocking on your door, call security, because you got power over it. He's giving you the power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by enemies hurt you. So what happened to Adam and Eve? They didn't keep the gate. They should have stopped the enemy. He gave them a suggestion. Eat that tree. They should have said, get on out of here. But what they do? Entertain you. That's what some of y'all do. He told you about that tree off of Figueroa. And and you went picking off the tree on Figueroa. You was picking on the tree. You went to the Snooty Fox to eat the fruit. Hey. Somebody say, no, I did it from Beverly Hills. Okay, wherever. Sin is sin. They call Vegas Sin City, but Sin City is anywhere that you sin in. Sin City could be Inglewood, Compton, Long Beach. Wherever you decide to entertain that thought. Yahweh is looking for some believers that are going to be shahars, that's going to be gatekeepers, and they're going to throw out the mess and take in his word and be the believers that he's recreated you and regenerated you to be. That is who he's looking for. Because, man, there's a lot of mess outside. Even in churches, you got to be careful what you let in your gate. Because they're trying to get churches to do stuff that churches ain't got no business doing. We are trying to maintain the true living word of Yahweh, unadulterated, unmessed up. We want what Yahweh has for us, pure and simple. But we got to do that. It's a kingdom way of thinking. So that thought did not come from Yahweh. So let me end you with this. Yohanan and John. John, the 8th chapter. My goodness. Y'all didn't know that you were shahars, did you? Say shahar. That's my job. Say, what is a shahar? It's a gatekeeper. You got to keep your gate. Guess what? You got to stay watch on that gate 24/7, 365. Even in your dreams, you got to be a shahar. I ain't dreaming. I bind that dream in the name of Yeshua. Your dreams will have you hooking up with different people. Well, I dreamed about you. There's a true story. I was in a barbershop. And this dude said that this girl that went to his church, they were working on a project. And she said, not this church. Tell your neighbor, not this church. Okay. So they were working on a project. And she said, ah, ha, ha. She married. He married. She said, ah, ha, ha. You know, the other night I had a dream that we was in bed together. What do you do with that? You got to run. But what was that? That was a dream of Satan. And why did she decide that she was going to share the dream with him? Because she wanted to see if he would enter into the dream and make it reality. Tell your neighbor, we got to be careful. We got to be gatekeepers. Shahars. So, Yohanan, 8th chapter, 42nd verse. I'll leave you with this. Yeshua said unto them, if I, Yahweh, were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and became from Yahweh. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So he's setting this up. Why do ye not understand my speech? The stuff that he's saying. Because Yeshua is the living word. He's the word wrapped up in flesh. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. 44th verse. Ye are of your father, the devil. Why is he saying that? And the lusts of your father you do. Because the stuff that he's suggesting that's lustful, that's what you're doing. So he must be your father. Because you're doing the stuff that he's feeding you. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Why? Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own. For he is the liar and the father of. So he's saying these thoughts and these suggestions and these ideas come from Satan. And everything that he's feeding you and telling you is a lie. And how do I know it's a lie? Because he is the father of lies. He has been a liar from the very beginning. And any counsel that you take from him is a lie. People telling me, yeah, Yahweh told me not to come to church. Who told you that? Who told you that? The liar told you that. Let me get something straight right here and right now. Yahweh would never tell you not to come to the house of Yahweh. Why? Because he says, forsake not the assembly. So why would he tell you not to come? If anybody told you not to come, it would be Satan, and he is the father of lies. And whatever that is, it's a lie. And I'm not going to live in lies. You shouldn't live in lies. You should live in the truth. That comes from the enemy. I'm going to do stuff that comes from the Father. I'm going to do stuff that comes from the Word. I'm going to do what he says, and everything he says is true.
Hallelujah.
How do I know what he says is true? Go to the next verse. It says what? And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Why? Because you've been hoodwinked and bamboozled into thinking them lies was the truth. You're not thinking about the origin of that mess. You're not the gatekeeper. You haven't been keeping your gate. You've been letting some thoughts come on in. And just like that old preacher said, who left the gate open? Who in hell left the gate open? Why would you let that mess come into your house? He's created you to be holy. He's created you to be sanctified, set apart for his use. He's created you to be justified. He's cleansed you. You are the righteous. You are Zedek. Right standards. You are the righteous. Does he have anybody in the house that's righteous that wants to do his will? That's what he wants. That's what he wants. Anything else is a lie. We'll find out about how we maintain that next week. Father Yahweh, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. Thank you for caring enough about us to provide the truth. Simply providing the truth. We thank you for that. We ask that you continue to minister to us, to walk in the trueness of your word, not to be deceived or confused by the lies that the enemy tries to plant, but rather we are your shahar. We are the gatekeepers. We keep the doors of our mind. We lead every thought to captivity.